All right, welcome to Pipeline Things. We are continuing our PPIM edition with our technology vendors here in 2024. Super excited. I'm your host, Rhett Dotson, my co-host. I'm all crazy today. Christopher De Leon, and our guest, Mr. Rink DeVries. Did I get that right?
You got it right.
All yes. Right. And in all fairness, you weren't the originally scheduled guest. This was like an audible right before.
You stand in.
So yeah, stand in. Now I have
But it's an upgrade.
Is it? That's what
it is. An upgrade.
It might be an upgrade in height. I know we got an upgrade in height for sure. Potentially, could we argue an upgrade in culture?
Is just that everything
for sure?
Yeah, you want to go? For sure, an upgrade.
We will not say who is your
original
guest.
You want to go now?
We're not. Yeah. Let's just say we've had a couple of other Europeans on the show today, and that's what he's inferring. Well, that's good.
I can't remember. How did the last time that those two countries faced each other in the World Cup? Or how did that?
No. But I would say
I know the women. Yeah. Shocker. They. But anyway, we are here for something else, right?
Yeah. So let's well, we want to thank you for joining us, especially joining us, so on the fly and being willing to subject yourself.
Thank you very much.
To what's going to come over the next 30 minutes.
Or so,
give or take, yeah. Right? But for our audience out there, Rink comes to us from Intero. And so if you don't mind, I'd like to just give you the floor a little bit. Can you tell us a little about who you are? How did you find yourself at the helm of Intero and in pipelines? We always want to hear what people's pipeline story is, because I doubt you grew up as a child and said, "I want to work in pipelines."
For a company, yeah. I heard about pigs. This is what I want to do.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's a good point. Good question. So yes, now let me introduce myself. So I'm Rink DeVries, as you already mentioned, pronounced correctly, and I'm with Intero as CEO since 2017. So, as you maybe know, Intero previously was named AHAC. So it was a family-owned business, transferred in ownership to private equity since end of 2017. Yeah. And then we started the journey to rebrand the company, what we did to Intero, and also having capital available from our new shareholder to invest in technology development, but also adding other companies through M&A, which what we also did over the last few years. A little bit about my background. So I've been in inspection my entire career. I started after I graduated working for A+ in the Netherlands.
Oh. Yeah, perfect.
That was end of the 90s.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at that time, that was a Dutch company with some subsidiaries abroad. But I think it was early 2000 or late 90s when they changed ownership as well to private equity. And similar type of journey as we are currently in.
Yeah.
In acquiring companies, growing, becoming part of A+. At that time it was RTD, maybe as you know that.
Yep.
And I've been in several positions over the course of 18 years working for that company, managing operations, mostly on the advanced inspection and technology side, also pipelines.
For A+.
For A+. A+, yes. A+, yeah. RTD at the time and later on A+.
Got you.
Till I've been technical director in the last 5 years for A+, developing ILI technologies, but also other technologies like weld inspection, which we called rotoscan at the time. Been involved in pipelines for many years. And after A+, I changed to AHAC and later on became Intero.
Well, fantastic. So tell us a little bit about who is Intero, right? So what's you guys' niche? Where do y'all fit? So
So as Intero, we have several fields where we work in, what we call service lines. So the most significant one is indeed pipeline inspection, ILI.
Yep.
But in this whole arena of pipeline inspection, we focus on a niche, which is the difficult to inspect. You know, we sometimes say it's the bigger the challenge, the more difficult it is, the more we like it.
Yeah.
And why? Because we have our own technology development. So we can work on tailor-made solutions. We constantly look at expanding our envelope of solutions, inspecting pipelines that were previously unexpected.
You're right.
Yeah. So we operate several pipelines in ILI inspection solutions. We have UT for liquid lines. So we have small diameters, very flexible tools to cope with difficult geometries, diameter changes, single side access.
And so we have I'm sorry, the ultrasonic tools, are those free swimming?
Those are free swimming.
Okay.
Yeah. So those are free swimming. But we don't only deliver the inspection solution, but we do the whole key, the whole what we call turnkey.
So gotcha.
Yes.
If it's unpickable, you know, you can provide a perfect technology solution, but you tell the customer, hey, this is the beautiful pipeline tool that I have, yeah, and then tell me where to launch it. And said, you know, actually, there is no launching.
The execution of the project exactly. A lot of time is the solution. Like I heard you say single access point, right? So you're introducing and having to extract.
Exactly.
So, and that has its art to it.
So it's not only the pipeline inspection tool that we deliver as a solution, but also the whole launching, bringing the pumps to site, installing the launches receivers. Of such a project, it takes 5-6 days for a pipeline.
Sure.
The inspection is in general maybe only a few hours, maybe, and all the rest is you know, getting the tool in the pipeline, getting it from A to B, getting it out, and giving it back to commission it again and get it back to operation.
Yeah, it kind of brings a highlight back to, you know, often we say the early days of inline inspection was a very simple goal. Can you get the tool in and safely out?
Yeah.
And then you ask, did I get data? You guys are continuing to tackle that challenge even today now.
Yeah.
Right?
No, exactly. You know, before the, what we more call the commodity ILI, conventional ILI, everything is there and engineered and designed, right? Launches, receivers, so you go there with a tool, you launch it and you pick it up.
Yep.
But the applications that that we are specialized in don't have that. So we have to engineer a solution and make sure that we get access and have a safe and good quality operations. And that differentiates us from other ILI vendors too.
Yes.
I sometimes compare it with, it's a different business model, right? You can compare it with a pizza restaurant or an a la carte. You know, the commodity business is more pizza. You know, it's one after the other, high quality, repetitive business. What we do is more a la carte. You know, every inspection situation requires maybe a different solution.
Yeah, that hits so close to home to me. You have no idea, Mr. Ring, because I don't like Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut just shows up and it's a pepperoni pizza and I'm tired of it. And we have a pizza restaurant here called On Demand. And so it's made on demand. And that's what kind of makes me think of it, right? You get engaged and deliver something very specific to what your need is.
You know, they both exist.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
But if you mix them, that's why also we want to stick to difficult to inspect pipelines.
Sure.
That's also where we want to be known for as the specialist for the difficult pipelines. That's why I said we like... The more difficult it is, you sometimes more like it.
And I interrupted you because you were talking about the ultrasonic. So that is the ultrasonic portion.
That's one
piece.
There's
another part, the piece that I was familiar with you guys about, which is, go ahead.
Yeah, so a few years ago, in our growth trajectory, we merged with Pipetel.
Pipetel
is the business that has also solutions for difficult to inspect, but not for liquid lines, but for gas lines.
Yeah.
So it was a perfect marriage with the business model that we already had, what I just explained, with another business having the same business model, having specialized solutions for difficult to inspect, but then for the gas utility market.
Right. So for our listeners out there, the Pipetel technology or that tool, that's not what I've said it. If you look at PPIM this year, there's a thousand rows now. It's huge. There's a ton of MFL providers. But that tool does not look like your conventional MFL tool. And it is MFL that's on board. It's got a few other things on board too. So can you tell us a little about what is the Pipetel technology?
Yeah, I think the MFL piece is maybe the only thing which is comparable to what you see in all
that's
the
MFL. That's where the comparison tools. Stops.
That's
after
where it
that.
Stops. All the rest is is different. It's a robot. So it goes in the pipeline. It's remote controlled and operated, wireless. So it's not with a tether. We can go in live pipelines. It can crawl in any direction. It can go with the flow. It can go against the flow because it has its own traction units. So it's very flexible for difficult to inspect pipelines. So in general, what we do is the high critical pipelines in high consequence areas in urban populated areas. That's really the main application area where we deploy them.
So what's neat about that statement, right, is it's, you say high consequence areas, and I remember Pipetel, you know, pre-Intero, and if I'm not mistaken, its birth has a lot to do with a significant incident that we had in the United States.
Yeah.
And so as a result of a failure, Congress kind of mandated PHMSA and the industry to develop improved technologies, to inspect more pipelines. And some money was put together, and if not, you know, work between NYSERDCH, then Pipetel is where kind of some of the birth of this technology came from, right?
No, exactly. So So I think the first initiative to develop this tool goes back 15, maybe 20 years ago. Yeah. And indeed, industry through NYSERDS put the money together to develop a solution for difficult to inspect pipelines.
Yeah.
Which, because there wasn't any solution for these particular pipe segments.
Yeah.
So, and technology evolved through the years to what we have right now. We have a full a robot fleet that's covering 6 to 36 inch, which is the majority of the pipe diameters out there to be inspected with these robots.
Yeah.
With conventional MFL, the development that we recently launched is also crack detection on long seams. An additional crack detection module that will be part of the existing robot, so only another sensor head on the same robot. So we're still expanding the capabilities of this of these robots.
You don't have the 36 inch robot here, do you?
No.
I want to see the 36 inch robot. That's got, I mean, a 36 inch normal free swimming tool is impressive.
Yeah.
But the 36 inch robotic tool, that's.
Yeah. It is. It is. And it's what, quite a tool indeed.
What I think is unique about you guys as well, right, is it's, you know, NYSERDS at that time, I mean, obviously its origins, right, is it was operator funded, if I'm not mistaken, which kind of gives you guys a unique posture. Because as you're working with this stuff, you're able to engage operators, get pilot projects, get feedback. I mean, you are directly in tune with what the market wanted for your specific application.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly. And we still are, because there are still so many opportunities and additional value that we can add by developing. So we are still working closely together with grid operators to improve and adding features to the tool.
Fantastic. Are there any other divisions at Intero?
Yeah, good question. So, yeah, we're starting off and saying we have three service lines. So this is the inspection one that we just covered. Second one is what we call environmental services. It's a company that we acquired in 2019, doing emission management, emission monitoring, predominantly working in Europe and Middle East.
Okay.
So we have not expanded that to North America. Yet. Maybe we're going to do it in the future, but for now we're focusing on Europe. Also, because in Europe there's a lot of new regulation in the making. It will be launched probably this year. It will make emission monitoring and control methane
mandatory. Emissions specifically. Methane emissions, leaks.
So we do that with monitors, quantifying the emissions, and we have software to present it to our customers so that they can reduce their emissions and also prove to the authorities that they are compliant.
All right. Excellent. Well, I tell you what, we're actually going to take a real quick break. And for our audience, when we come back, we're going to get into what does it look like when you run Intero's technology and some of the really cool, like you already heard that it's wirelessly remote controlled, but there's more than that. Stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Hello, everyone. It's BJ Lowe from Clarion, and we're very happy to be sponsoring this season of Pipeline Things to showcase the impressive technologies being exhibited here at PPIM.
I'm Ben Stroman, and we've been impressed with the turnout at the 36th PPIM conference event in 2024 with 159 companies exhibiting, over 3,000 attendees, and over 90 papers being presented. We've had a great year with a huge turnout in terms of high-quality technical paper submissions. Attendees this year will have the opportunity to hear from industry stakeholders and their advancements in several fields, including ILI analysis, geohazards, materials identification and verification, emerging issues, repair, hydrogen, integrity management, NDT, and more. If you couldn't make it in person to the PPIM conference in February, you can always find helpful resources and tools offered by Clarion year-round. We have several courses taught by subject matter experts that can be found on our website. We're excited for PPIM this year, and we hope to see everyone next year as well. But be sure to stay up to date with Clarion and its offerings by joining our mailing list on our website. Thanks.
All right, thanks for coming back from the break, where we are knee-deep with Intero talking about their service lines and about to get into their robotic technology. So I'd like to hear, Rink, if somebody comes to you and I really want to hone in on the robotics, and that some of our audience wants to run your technology in a difficult to inspect pipeline, what does that look like?
Yeah, it's a good question. Robotics is always making people excited, right? So I'm happy to share some details on that. But before I go there, I mentioned that we are operating three service lines. We cover two now. So just quickly on the last one, which is industrial services.
Yep.
Industrial services actually was the start of the company when we were AHAC Industrial Services. That was the only thing they were doing. After a few years, they picked up inspections, and that has outgrown the industrial services piece. But we still do that. So in Europe, and we also keep that in Europe, we do what we call industrial services, which is predominantly nitrogen, purging, some chemical cleaning.
Gotcha.
But it's an important piece because it is in the DNA of our company. And that's sure. also why we can do the turnkey solution, because our people are used to run nitrogen, to do cleaning of the pipelines, right. to do mechanical work, installing allowances, receivers, spool pieces. So that makes us...
There's a safety component there. I mean, for example, back here in US regulations, there's a lot of buzz around pigging safety, right? And making sure you're doing it properly and that people are not put in any extra risks if they're not needed to. And so those turnkey operations can be pretty dangerous. So you're right, that's important to be part of your DNA.
It's an important combination for our company, but main focus on what we're doing is the inspection service line and the environmental service line, and industrial services is only what you see in as a separate service in Europe. But you see elements, obviously, of that in our in our inspection service line as well.
Yeah, makes sense.
All right, then the robotic piece.
Yes. So I've got a 36-inch pipeline. Let's just say it's a kilometer, and you guys are going to inspect it. What does that look like?
Yeah. So what I already mentioned earlier, so we can inspect this pipeline while the pipeline remains in operation.
Yeah.
So
without a launcher and without a receiver.
That's so huge.
So yeah, if there's no launcher, there is a hot tap required to be able to install a launcher. Yep. So that's not what we do, but there's another contractor installing the hot tap. Then we install, we bring our launcher, and with the safe launch operation, we launch the robot in the pipeline, which what I said is wireless operated. So we have a pilot, an operator.
That's, does he have like a joystick or is it an Xbox remote?
Yeah, it's not directly in a joystick, but you know, maybe to visualize it for yourself, you know, call it a joystick.
Okay.
Like an Atari joystick.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, you know.
With a red button on top.
Hit the turbo button.
Maybe game too much, right?
So yeah.
But you know, that's, you know, you can compare it a bit a lot, but it's a sensitive operation, right? So you need to maneuver. You can steer the robot in any direction. So if you go into the pipeline, you can decide you go left or you go right. You can go through very steep bends, 1D or even smaller. You can decide to go in another TP. So you can maneuver in any direction as you want. So you don't necessarily have to have flow in the line, which you need to have with a regular MFL inspection. You can even travel against the flow. It's wireless, so it doesn't have a tether, so it's remotely operated, and you collect the data on your way. We collect three data sets with this robot. So we have your MFL data.
Yeah.
There is a camera on it, so you can see where you go.
Yeah.
And there is a laser on it as well. So for deformation in the nose of the tool, there is a laser technology installed. So you have three data sets that you can use also on your data analysis, providing you more information.
And you alluded to are y'all adding crack onto it as well for the long seam?
Yeah, so the crack for long seams is what we have added. So we that's a separate inspection. So we take out the MFL conventional and then we bring in the long seam sensor.
That's pretty
cool. We can, you know, because of the we can allocate the long seam location, and then we can inspect the long seam for cracks.
Is it modular? So you extract it, and you just take off the MFL laser component, add it, and then the robot just goes right back in?
Yeah, so the laser is separate. It's in the nose, and the MFL is is a separate module. So you can exchange the MFL-A module for an MFL-C crack detection module.
You said that it runs wireless and no tether, right? Well, that sounds really cool. My question, though, is if I'm an operator, that actually might sound terrifying.
Yeah.
What happens if you lose connection with your wireless, like my phone loses connection?
Yeah.
Or how do you prevent battery-related issues? Like, oh, we got all the way down the line, and then batteries went kaput. Sorry, we're going to have to go. You must have some protections against
this. Absolutely. And, you know, those questions have been asked during the development as well over the last 15 years. So there's a lot of redundancy in the tool. So if you lose, you know, on the battery side, there's a lot of redundancy. So we also don't drive till the batteries are completely empty. Right? So we always
coming in on fumes.
There's always a safety factor there that we are sure that we can retrieve the tool. And on the most critical components, there is redundancy in the tool so that you don't lose connection.
So on that topic, you know, Rink, it makes me think about extraction. I mean, what if, like, the idea is it's maybe it has power, but what happened if something, you know, mechanically happens is, you know, how would you retrieve it? You know, a lot of times you feel the safety net of a tether because you can pull it back.
Yeah.
What do you guys do if you need to get it out? You know, are there any safety mechanisms built in? Because it's you've got modules on this, right? 2-3 modules. Yeah. How do you get it out?
No, yeah, you know, you're talking about a situation where you completely run out of power, or when you lose connection, or when a mechanical failure that happens. But again, there is so much safety redundancy in the tool and factors that doesn't happen. And, you know, there's always enough battery in it or spare capacity on the batteries that we can retrieve the tool, that we always can drive back and get it out.
It's like the Apollo missions to the moon. You had like plan A, B, C, and D going down the line.
Exactly. Are the modules autonomous, or are they all interconnected? Like, does one module require the other, or are they independently operated?
Independent. So you don't lose the entire tool, for example. You will be able to retrieve it, yeah. So there are multiple traction units on it that you can operate
Independently.
So I know one of the coolest things that I heard about, and I want to make sure it comes out, you guys offer some form of inline charging?
Yeah, that's a good one, because, you know, working so close with gas grid operators, you know, when you develop a solution for their need for difficult to inspect pipelines, you know, the first solution that they got was something that can travel a mile, right?
Yeah.
You know, when you fix that problem, the next question is, hey, can you go beyond the mile, right? So, together with the industry, there has been a solution developed for that, what we call inline charging. So from the outside, we can make a 2-inch additional hot tap 1 mile further down the line, drive the tool to that position, and then charge it from the outside. So recharge the tool takes some time, and then we can continue for another mile. And this is actually something that it's very innovative.
Yeah.
But it's something that we apply almost every day. There's a lot of projects where we go beyond that mile. Customer modifies his line with additional small hot taps on different locations. So we do multiple sections in one run. So it's not that we only inspect pipelines with a few hundred meters or 1 mile maximum, but by inline charging, we extend the range of the rope.
That is so cool. So how long does it take to inspect a mile? Generally speaking, let's say it's 12-inch line.
Yeah, it takes you a few hours.
Okay.
And then it takes obviously some time to recharge it. But I mean,
But you know, you're in an in pipeline in operation, so you're not disturbing the flow or the operations. There's bypass on the tool, so you can continue operation. So time is not really
a critical factor. You're inspecting something that, absent your solution, is probably not inspectable, right? So time is almost kind of irrelevant. I think it's just cool that you guys can extend it, you know, on the fly to go 1, 2, 3 miles if you want by just dropping in a 2-inch hole.
Yeah.
And every time you drop that 2-inch hot tap, you could take that coupon out and get material tests from it too.
It's the right size. You're absolutely right. We've talked about that before.
Good point. Yeah.
But it also makes us think about just the value proposition that you guys offer, because you're able to do it on stream and in high consequence areas, right? I mean, those combined benefits just create an incredible story, right? A value, like a value chain, like we often say.
Yeah, there are pipelines we know that there's a single feed to a power station, and you can't go down with that. So it's
we come across all kind of very complex situations. You know, we have done a pipeline a while ago with an amount of bands you can't imagine.
Yeah, wouldn't be able to tether it.
So
no. Impossible.
Is it our understanding? Is it like a tractor where you could just maybe, as you guys are developing new technologies and vehicles or canisters, you could just kind of latch it on and it can get pulled through?
Yeah, you could do that, right? We have the robot himself is something to propel your technology through the pipeline from A to B. So you can add other sensor technologies to it eventually if you would like to do that.
So is there anything you can share on that front? Is Antero moving forward? Do you guys have any plans? I mean, you mentioned the long seam sensor. I think that's really cool. That's a great sensor to bring on.
Yeah. No, you know, there are several focus areas that we are working on extending the range of the tool. We have inline, for example, for your inline charging right now, but you still require this 2-inch hot tap. It requires an excavation.
Yeah.
You can imagine in urban areas, it's still...
Yeah,
it's still a hassle to do an excavation, get your permits for our customers.
And there is risk involved. It's well understood practice, but I mean, there's still a risk involved.
So if you could avoid that inline charging point or extend it, you know, you travel another mile as a maximum what we have right now, but travel 2 miles before you need to recharge with even better batteries or other ways to generate energy while we're in the pipeline.
Yeah.
that you can add way more value to your customers.
Put a little turbine on the back of it that just spins as the gas flows.
We'd like to hear your ideas and suggestions.
But we
have active programs in our R&D that are currently working on that.
That's so cool. So continuing to develop the technology, continue to push it forward.
Yeah.
And obviously, I guess you guys must pay a lot of attention to battery developments that happen. And with everything that's going on with electric vehicles and all of
that,
that's a direct benefit to you guys.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's, you know, we follow that. And if there's upgrades on battery capacity, then we're certainly going to benefit from that.
So one of the, I mean, we're at PPIM. And so obviously there's a lot of inspection companies here. And a lot of these guys operate in your traditional inline device where they're propelled with the product that's in the line. I mean, I think it's pretty fair to say that you guys kind of are the leader in this difficult to inspect robotic. I mean, we focus on the robotics, maybe not so much the UT, but just any comments around the overall market as it relates to difficult to inspect here in the US, you know, maybe some observations you see related here to PPIM.
Yeah, not specifically for North America, but in general, what we see, because we're also on the UT side, we are difficult to inspect. So you see this market growing. We do pipelines every year that never have been inspected before. So this market is growing.
It's growing.
You know, there's a regulation, certainly here in North America, driving the demand for our robotic MFL inspections. We are also introducing the robots now through our infrastructure in other parts of the world, because so far, it only has been applied in North America for North American gas grid operators. So we have brought it to Europe, also offering it to European gas grid operators. We have done several inspections over the last few years. So through our organization now, we can also bring it to other parts of the world. But these all have been lines that never have been inspected before with other technologies.
So you get to see it for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So infrastructures are aging. Regulation is there are more regulation is implemented. So this market is certainly growing, but also on the UT ILI side. So we do inspections in other parts of the world that are out there for 25, 30 years. It's the first time that we inspect these.
That lines. Anybody's seen it. It's the first time that anybody's been inside the pipeline.
Yeah.
That's a cool place to be. Well, Rink, I want to say thank you for joining us. I also want to say, you have any last parting words you'd like to leave? Are you glad you came on the show? or are you going to go back and find your subordinate and be like, don't you ever put me on that show again?
We started, there was sort of a stand-in, right?
So
for me, it was sort of a surprise as well. But I was glad to be here and share on a little bit of what we are doing. And, thanks for
that. Well, all the best. You guys are doing a great job. You know, we hear very positive things. Again, and we appreciate you making time for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. To our audience, I want to say thanks to Intero for joining us. If you get a chance, check out what they're doing. That robotic robot. Can you say that? The robotic robot? The robot is pretty freaking cool. That's all I will say. Take a look at it. And again, we'll be back in 2 weeks on Pipeline Things. Thank you.